Brodin back at his own blue line. Brodin for Brad Hunt. Hunt getting it over now for Brodin. Brodin will slam it in. Hunt has chased a, Hunt has replaced a pattern on the
Doobie's out.
Empty net for Minnesota with 2 minutes now remaining. Hunt more of an offensive defenseman, so he's getting the playing time. Avalanche clear. Look out. Empty net. They score. Into the empty net with a minute and 54 seconds to go. It's Ian Cole icing it for Colorado. The Avalanche lead it by a score of 3-1.
Boudreaux.
Hi, Coach. Paul Allen. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Okay. Did you sleep okay last night?
I don't think so.
Were you laying there rerunning plays through your mind from the Avalanche game?
Yeah, and, you know, the whole situation that's going on. So there's a lot of things going on in my head.
Last night, obviously, was very frustrating. Sorry about the loss last night. Just morning after, what do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a one-shot game, and not making excuses. We had chances to score goals, and we didn't. You know, I mean, and they get their chance to score, and then they put it in, and that's the difference in the game.
Zucker's playing really hard for you right now. Seriously, it feels like he should have had two or three goals, but just couldn't close on it last night.
Yeah, no, I agree. We had open nets, and I don't know if they're holding their sticks too tight or what have you, but we missed some glorious opportunities last night, and when you miss glorious opportunities, you're not going to have success at the end of the day.
Bruce Boudreaux, coach of the Minnesota Wild, kicks off 9 to noon. It's Paul Allen. Good morning. The end of the game, Bruce, the talk was how desperate Colorado was from the 10 spot. You guys were kind of fighting for your playoff lives too.
No kidding. We're fighting for our lives every night as well for the last, you know, couple months has been you fight for it's been tough, you know. I mean, it's tough out there. Every team is still in it, and I just went through the schedule again, and, you know, I mean, the bottom line is we have to win games. We can't I know the competition is tough, but we have to win games, and we can't keep hoping that other teams are going to lose games, but so we have to do it on our own and in tough situations.
How many times have you looked at that schedule in the last week? You probably got it memorized.
I pretty well do. I could tell you who's playing where.
Marcus Foligno and that penalty kill. I know you lost the game, but I mean, from the Rangers' victory through the tough loss against the Islanders, then last night, there are so many facets that from afar, Bruce, seem to be going well, including Foligno and that penalty kill last night.
Yeah, I mean, we went through a rough spot in the penalty kill for a while there, but I think they're getting it back together now, and they did a really good job on McKinnon last night and on a very good power play, by the way. But our power play has started to pick it up, but we haven't scored a goal in two games, 5-on-5, and I mean, it's killed us in both games. I mean, you're basically in 60 minutes allowing two goals each game, and you got to score three in this league to win.
Outside Bruce of missing some of those great opportunities last night, what were some things like an elite hockey mind like yours would look at that game and led to the tough loss?
That led to the tough loss. I mean, I just think it was two teams battling and one team took advantage of their opportunities. There's going to be peaks and valleys in every game, and they put a push on, then we'd put a push on, when they put their push on, they scored a goal, and we couldn't overcome in the third period, even though I think the last half of the game, we had numerous chances. I think we outchanced them 15-10, for grade A chances, in the course of the game, and we just, weren't able to score. Is the bottom line.
You know, I know the guys playing like they legitimately care really matters to you. Are you truly sensing that right now?
Oh, they care. You can tell on the bench. You can tell on the in the room. You can tell before the game their demeanor and everything. I mean, nobody's walking around coming into the room laughing and having a, you know, thinking that this is, they're just going to put their skates on and go play. I mean, there's some very serious hockey players out there that are playing for their hockey lives.
Even though it feels negative right now, do you have to remind them? Clearly, it's not over. You still can do this.
Well, of course we can still do this. I think we're 1 point behind Florida still. I mean, we have to win. And, you know, Florida plays Arizona next, or 2 points behind, or 1 point behind Arizona, sorry, because they play Florida next. I mean, Colorado goes into Dallas. I mean, at this stage, you're looking at the second wild card, and so you're hoping Dallas wins. You're hoping Florida plays a good game at home, which they've been playing pretty well lately. And then Colorado plays Chicago back-to-back on the weekend. And but it, none of this matters if we don't win at least a split in Washington, Carolina. It would be a great trip if we could win both games against two tough teams. But then we'd be right back in the thick of things.
Why not, right? I mean, tough roadies coming up, but there's no disputing, Bruce. Get them away from home, and they've been better most of the season.
They've been better. I mean, there's been a pocket full of of games where we haven't been in, and most games were right there. We've got to find a way to get over that hump, and I think a big thing with our team is getting the lead. I mean, we've played from behind almost the whole year, and that's a tough thing to do when the other team gets the first goal.
Man, the way you went through that schedule with Colorado and Arizona and everything, I mean, this is intense. It's mind-boggling. It's frustrating. Can you even enjoy watching these non-Wild games when you watch them, or is it like too nerve-wracking?
Well, I watch them, but it's nerve-wracking. Let me tell you that. Then the night before when Arizona's playing, I mean, against Tampa, I'm biting my nails, and Stamkos gets a penalty with a minute and a half, and you're just walking the floor. So, I mean, of course, you're living every game all the time like this. I mean, I've never been in a situation like this, but it's something that in the future I don't want to be in again. You want to be up by 10 points at this stage of the season when you can, so you can get a little bit of breathing room.
Hey, you got a goalie interference to go your way last night. You almost look surprised.
No, well, I was surprised. I mean, that they didn't call it a no goal on the ice. It was clearly goalie interference, and I would have been way shocked if they had allowed that goal.
So a cross check to a goaltender's shoulder, then subsequently a cross check to the head, that's no good, right?
No, and holding the crossbar so you can stay in the crease is probably not allowed in the league.
What was the plan against McKinnon, and how did they execute it?
Well, it was, you know, I mean, we don't really have right now with Mikko out of the lineup a number one guy that you can just put on somebody that checks them all night long. So it was by committee, but every time he touched the puck, we were supposed to have one or two guys attacking him. And if he got rid of it, to stay with him so he couldn't get it back. And for that thing, for that part, I think it worked pretty well. I mean, their guys that scored were not exactly, well, Tyson Barrie's got 10 from the point, and he's pretty good, but Yost, that was just his 11th goal, I think, of the year. And so, I mean, the guys that we wanted to shut down, we shut down. It was the other guys that scored the two goals.
Jared Spurgeon's hockey acumen, I mean, of all the players you've coached, is Jared Spurgeon's the intangibles and the instincts, is it about as good as anybody you've ever had?
It really is. I mean, he's a special player and a special person. He comes to play every night. He gives it everything he's got, and he plays every night against the team's best lines, and plays 25 minutes a night for a guy that's 5'7", 165 pounds. And, you know, I mean, he's in the top five in goal scoring for defense. I mean, he's got 14 goals, and, you know what, I don't think he gets any of the credit that he rightfully deserves, because I would take him on my team. If you asked me to make a team up right now of in the NHL, I don't care who's on other teams' defense, I would take Jared Spurgeon as one of mine.
How badly do you guys miss Eriksson Ek now, and do you think you'll get him back soon?
Well, I don't think he's anywhere near ready right now. He's still really not skating. But we do miss him because, I mean, we've got Luke, who's playing as hard as he can at center, but hasn't played center since college, and we'd like to get a natural centerman back in there and put Luke where I think he fits best, which is the right side.
Sorry about the loss last night. Get some rest, travel safely to the nation's capital, and thanks for the conversation, okay?
Anytime, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bruce Boudreau, coach of the Minnesota Wild, off a gut-wrenching loss to the Colorado Avalanche.